What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 27th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Cade Cavalli went on opening day for the Nationals. 3.2 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts. How should we feel about Cade Cavalli moving forward? I am not the biggest fan, just because he throws a really good curveball and has velocity that I call empty velocity. That means that it's velocity that does not have the best movement, does not have the underlying aspects of a good fastball to get whiffs a ton. And you saw that yesterday, just 6 whiffs on 75 pitches overall. That's the MO with Cade Cavalli. He doesn't have much else in that arsenal to really support this. It's not the best team around him. I will say Cade Cavalli did command his four-seamer and sinker a little bit better than I have seen in the past. Hopefully that does stick, but I kind of imagine the four-seamer will not be very good. Also, he should have allowed a home run, I believe, it was Ian Happ, or might have been a different pitcher. But the wind was really pushing in from left field yesterday, and I do think that that is part of the reason wasn't as bad as it could have been for Cade Cavalli. I would not go with that. And by the way, I'm going to be highlighting the guys to go for today, tomorrow, on your waiver wires, and also which ones of these guys you should actually be picking up. Cade Cavalli is not one of them. I'm not going to go through a lot of the aces. I do want to mention Jose Soriano getting 19 whiffs on 91 pitches with a 37% CSW against the Astros. I was not in on this. I see Jose Soriano as someone who's going to be a massive whip liability for your leagues. And 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, 7 Ks is incredible. The reason, and something that I regret that I didn't catch myself, was that this is a right-handed heavy lineup, and Soriano is much better against righties than he is lefties. Why is that? Because he has a sinker that he throws really hard and generates a lot of ground balls, and he has this elite cut, a curveball that in the past has had a high CSW. This was actually only 46% strike rate, but he earned a ton of whiffs on them. 8 over 26, and he came in at 86-87. Oh, isn't that a slider? Kind of, but it actually has that typical two-plane movement of a curveball. So no, it's just a really hard curveball, which makes it one of the better ones around if he can locate it properly. And I actually would even argue that Soriano didn't locate this poorly. He threw it down and away to right-handers. He didn't throw it too far upstairs and fly out of his hand. That way, didn't throw it front door and it almost hit right-handers. It didn't go way outside. He threw it under the zone. They didn't always chase it, but it's exactly where it should be for the most part. Maybe sometimes a little bit higher to get those earlier strikes. It's cool, and I don't really love the slider and the four-seamer, and I don't have so much faith in that splitter being the nullifier for lefties with Jose Soriano. So I really do see this as a good moment. 4 walks, keep in mind. But yeah, Jose Soriano can do this against right-handers, and hopefully the defense doesn't light up, because just 2 hits is very rare, I think, for Soriano. But yeah, fun stuff there. You also have Joe Ryan looking great, which is wonderful. We love to see that the back is fine. Mizorowski allowed a leadoff home run and then settled in for 25 whiffs and 41% CSW and 11 Ks. Let's just hope he can keep commanding that four-seamer upstairs. It is interesting that he had his extension drop from 7.6 feet to 7.2. Nick, what does that mean? Well, that's 4 clicks, and 7.6 is like 100th percentile, while 7.2 is like 91st or so, 92nd, which is still great, but I do wonder if this means that Mizorowski pulled it back on purpose to try to command a little bit better, and he did command the four-seamer better. Now, still 3 walks, and he did have some erratic ones way upstairs, but it's not like a scatter plot. It was actually upstairs consistent, which is cool. Matthew Liberatore went against the Rays. He was my streaming pick. It worked out with 5 innings of 1 earned run. However, 7 hits, 2 walks, 2 Ks, not really the most inspiring outing. I didn't see a Liberatore that was exceptional and really located beautifully and all of this. It's fine. And yeah, he's a Toby. That's what Liberatore is. He went against the Rays in St. Louis. That worked. I don't feel as if I need to hold Liberatore tight to the chest. Rasmussen's on the other side. He allowed a solo shot to Weatherholt. Fine. And then everything else is okay. It's the most standard Rasmussen start of 5 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, 2 Ks, 73 pitches. This is just who he is. Tanner Bibee was looking so good with 18 inches of vert plus on his 4-seamer. And I've been so out on Bibee this year. I remember last year following it, just hoping he'd get the cutter back and the changeup command and or anything really going. And he didn't. and seeing the spring was just not inspiring at all. But out of nowhere, he did not have this 18 inches of vert in the spring. It was awesome. I was having so much fun with this. Yes, 300 runs on three solo shots, five innings, four hits, two walks, seven Ks though, 15 whiffs, 33% CSW. And then all of a sudden he's warming up for the sixth and gets a trainer and the manager on the mound and he leaves with shoulder inflammation. No, I really also want to highlight the fact that 18.3 inches of vert is nearly 4 inches more. Like, he was 14.5 last season. That is an unbelievable shift. That is just, you take a terrible dead zone four seamer and you turn it into an excellent one, right? That is an unreal change that I would have been so in on Bybee if it weren't for this obvious shoulder injury. So, wow, I was ready to be like, well, guys, no one told me he was going to do that. No one believed it. And this stinks. Shoulder inflammation, especially without, like, I don't think they had an MRI left or yet. Maybe they did. It just does not sound good. That sounds like an IL stint. Generally, when that happens, you don't mess around with it, is what I'm trying to say. So, yeah, welcome back, Logan Allen. Maybe they should just push up Daniel Espino. Get those bullets, right? Okay, it's not going to happen. That's a stupid comment, Nick. Other guys from yesterday, not really much else to say for the good stuff, but the bad stuff. Obviously, you had to deal with Paul Skeens' first inning with O'Neill Cruz missing that ball, and everyone wants to yell at him, blah, blah, blah. Hey, how about Paul Skeens just doesn't allow balls in play and walk two batters and hit a guy by the end of it and only have one strikeout? How about that? Five whiffs on 37 pitches. Sure, he should have been out of it, and yeah, this was just kind of a bad day, but like, it's not fully on Cruz here. Skeens didn't pitch at his best. So it goes. It's fine. Should have been out of that inning earlier and probably recollecting himself in future innings, but don't worry about that. Matthew Boyd, 3.2 innings of 600 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. He was going great. It was 3 innings with just a solo shot and 7 strikeouts. But then, oh man, he left too many pitches over the plate. The Nationals jumped on those, and there were the few ones that were over the plate. Like, a lot of the day was great. He was going upstairs with his four-seamer, and they were just being so aggressive, these Nationals batters. So he had 13 whiffs on that pitch alone on 42 thrown, which is so good for Matthew Boyd. I love it. He also had 20 whiffs and a 44% CSW overall, which is generally is a golden goal, but Mizorowski exists. Poor Soriano and Boyd for that. But I'm not worried about this. This was just a cataclysmic fourth inning. It just didn't go well then, and that's that. But Boyd is looking like the Boyd you want to see. And Nick Pivetta, 3 innings, 600 runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. He had a horrible first inning. He had 3 walks across his first 5 batters. And he never really collected himself from there. It's the first start of the year. They don't want to push him too much. He threw just under 70 pitches, I should say, in 3 frames. And yeah, that was it. So I wouldn't worry about this. He threw 50% strikes roughly on his curve plus four-seamer, which is very atypical for Nick Pivetta. I know he had the arm fatigue scare earlier in the spring, but then he came back and was at his normal velocity and everything looked fine. So hopefully we're just going to brush this away and be okay. All right, we're going to talk about today's and tomorrow's streamers as well on this, and I'm going to talk about all of those guys after this break. All right, for today's games, we have Chris Sale, Cole Reagans, Sandy Alcantara, Cam Schlittler, George Kirby, Framber Valdez, Kevin Gausman, all auto starts. We don't need any help there. Gavin Williams is going at Seattle. Sure, that sounds cool. Mike Burrows against the Angels. It's against the Angels, not a very good team. I love the new slider from Burrows, so that's in probable start. Hopefully, Amit Sheehan is fine when it comes to his velocity. He had an illness at the beginning of spring, and that might have been a product of the lower velocity in the later innings might be a product of that, as he has less stamina at the moment. But it does mean that he might go only 3-4 innings. They might not push it too far. So keep that in mind. You have Michael King and Robbie Ray also here. Michael King hasn't looked good in the spring, but I'm still going to do it. And Robbie Ray gets the Yankees. Still going to do it. Questionable start here. You have Ryan Nelson and Kyle Freeland. Yeah, Ryan Nelson gets the Dodgers. Not fun. He's had success before against the Dodgers. The four-seamer is still really hard to hit, and the Dodgers are going to have to deal with that. But I don't really want to do it if I don't have to. And Kyle Freeland's a stream pick of the day at 1% rostered against the Miami Marlins in Miami. He has not gone to Coors yet. I think this can work. I don't love it, but we've also seen Kyle Freeland have that success early in the season outside of Coors for the first week. It's traditionally what the Rockies do because it's always so cold in March, in early April. So this could work out if you're looking for a sneaky stream. And the Do Not Start tier, you could also stream Luis Severino against the Jays in Toronto. I don't believe that Severino is going to be nearly as good as he was in the WBC. He won't care about the Athletics like he does about his home country. And then you have Yusei Kikuchi against the Astros. These are just such risky starts, in my view, without enough of the upside. So I'm not going after either one. Looking forward to tomorrow's games. We have Brian Wu and Jacob deGrom, Tyler Glasnow, Yuri Perez, Kyle Bradish, Dylan Cease, all in that auto start tier. There's also Cade Horton against the Nationals. I feel that that's a pretty easy choice. Aaron Nola is going against Texas. It is opposite deGrom, which is unfortunate, but I'm still going to go after Aaron Nola. I think he's looked good in the spring. He looked good for Italy. I think everything is fine there. You have Sonny Gray, who has been sunny and gray this spring. However, his last game was his best of the spring, and he said, quote, "I feel so locked in." That's what you want to see from Sonny Gray. Actually, I want to mention, it wasn't a direct quote, but loosely, that's pretty much what he said. He felt great. And, you know, that usually starts his amazing stretches. So, yeah, I'm starting him in Cincy. No problem. Probable start tier, you have Joey Cantillo as my stream pick of the day at Seattle. Pretty easy choice here. It's a good situation going in Seattle. It's the best pitcher's park out there. And Cantillo hopefully has his Vulcan change working. I don't feel the need to keep holding him past this. And I don't want to start him against the Cubs, essentially, is what I'm trying to say. You have David Peterson against the Pirates as another streaming option. It's 23% rostered, so not quite. But I like that one. He's stretched out. It's a good matchup. Mets should give him a win, etc. And Will Warren at San Francisco. He's going opposite Tyler Mahle. Great. You love to see that. And he's not necessarily doing the things I want him to do with his secondaries. It's not explosive strikeout potential. However, it's good enough. It should be fine. A questionable start here. You have Chad Patrick against the White Sox, 10% rostered. It's okay. I don't think that Chad Patrick is a guy that can consistently go six innings. I think the Brewers are also going to be one of those teams that recognize that he doesn't do well third time through the lineup with a limited arsenal. It's a four-seamer, cutter, slider kind of situation that just isn't unique enough or wide enough to, unique enough. It's too similar between them, though. It's not like you have four different pitches, different things you really feature excessively against lefty-righty. Chad Patrick's fine, is what I'm trying to say. He gets the White Sox. It could be cool for 5-plus innings, okay? That's all. I don't really want to go for it. Michael McGreevy against the Rays. If you're looking for 6 innings, though, that's your quality start play because Michael McGreevy could go through 6 in a blink of an eye just because he throws a ton of grounders, and he actually looked a little bit better in his last spring start, which made me a little intrigued. I'm curious to see what it is. Michael Lorenzen is in Miami. I know, but Michael Lorenzen's a major leaguer. It could absolutely work. Miami's not a good offense, and he's not in Coors yet. He's at Miami. Randy Vasquez also in San Diego hosting the Tigers. It's a questionable start. Why? Because he's throwing harder this spring, and that's a good offense behind him, and it's a good command pitcher. Generally, he hasn't had the best command, but it's a wide arsenal, has this new cutter at 89 miles per hour, four seamers at 96, and sinkers around there too. Lots of pitches. He could absolutely go 5-plus, if not 6, against the Tigers here. Something to consider. In the Do Not Start tier, you have a lot of guys. Jack Flaherty, Brady Singer are leading the way as major names, same with Sean Burke and Christian Javier. Christian Javier is just not looking good. He gets the Angels, but it's 2 ticks down, worse movement, his control is still bad, etc. Jack Flaherty against the Padres, that's not a fun offense to face. He's not really doing anything interesting that makes me feel like last year's second half is not going to be the same. It's a strikeout play there. Brady Singer to me is just still sinker slider. It can work against the Red Sox. It's possible. And maybe I'm too low on him and too high on, say, like Randy Vasquez relatively. But to me, the floor and ceiling proposition is just not good enough for Brady Singer here in Cincy. As I mentioned, Sean Burke too. It's the same kind of deal of nothing exceptional. And I don't really see a need to go and chase that. Mitch Keller is going against the Mets. I just don't think that Mitch Keller does a whole lot. He's fine for quality start leagues, okay, but it's just not worth your time in a 12-teamer. Reed Detmers is fastball slider, and doesn't really have a great changeup yet. Doesn't have such consistency on the curveball that I feel comfortable going against a right-handed lineup like the Astros. I don't I don't really see this. Taj Bradley maybe works against the Orioles. It is such a volatile mess. No, thank you, Tyler Mahle against the Yankees. I like Tyler Mahle when he gets a better schedule, which is not happening for at least one more start after this. Eduardo Rodriguez against the Dodgers. It's the Dodgers. Rodriguez could be a sneaky Toby and a guy to circle for future good matchups. Jeffrey Springs will be Sunshine and Rainbows against the Toronto Blue Jays in Toronto. Probably not. Maybe he has a little bit extra in his slider in his different four-seamer, but I'm not going to at all do that. Michael Wacha against Atlanta in Atlanta could be a good changeup day. Again, very limited ceiling. It's more of a six-inning play if you want to go for that. And the last three, Joe Boyle. Yes, he's starting. I don't know how long he's going to go, but at least it's at St. Louis. And maybe he goes five innings and has his best day, but come on. Ronaldo Lopez against the Royals. Not for me. He had such diminished velocity in that last one. Like, we're talking mid-80s all of a sudden and topping out at 91.8. Are you kidding? This is a guy who sat 95, 96. No, thank you. And then there's Miles Michaelis against the Cubs. Absolutely not. Terrible team context. Just not very good. And it's the Cubs. All right. That is it for today. Enjoy the second day of real baseball. I can't believe they don't have 1 p.m. games. It's insane. Check out our YouTube account, youtube.com/petrolist. Go subscribe there because you can watch these podcasts live there. And if you're already there, please go subscribe right now. We also have our pitcher breakdown videos coming back. So I'm so excited about that. I'm really looking forward to just constantly watching these players with you and explaining what that pitch movement chart looks like on our pitcher cards, how to translate it, how to become really smarter watching the game, and making it so that you can judge these pitchers on your own. You don't need me. You can do this. It's really quick and easy. I'll teach you all of that on our YouTube channel, so go check that out. But that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low, and your strikeouts high.